Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. I'm Branham. Age behind the glass. It is a Wednesday edition of the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Brian couldn't handle Fromber's meltdown today, so he didn't show up to work. What's a surprise? Lots to get to today. Danielle Hunter, a surprise in the top 100? Talk about that later. College football season right around the corner. In fact, it starts this week. So we're going to talk about the best players in college football. But the Astros lose. The Astros lose again. There's good news, bad news here. Good news is the scoreless inning streak was snapped at 31. The problem is it was 7-0 whenever it was snapped, because Fromber Valdez had a first inning to forget. The losing just continues for the Houston Astros. It feels like a very bad baseball team right now.
It really does. I mean, I tweeted it out, but this is a first-place baseball team. You watch this team on a nightly and a daily basis, and you have to stop and ask yourself how that team is still in first place. Thankfully, the Mariners are doing it yet again and are almost as bad as the Astros. But overall, when you watch this team play, it is worthy of asking the question of how the hell are they still in first place. And that's why I think it's even more remarkable they've been able to do what they've done all season long by kind of cutting and pasting to stay where they are. But, man, it's starting to get dicey, and it's worrying me more and more every day that this team doesn't have enough to get to the finish line.
Yeah, I just think they're playing bad. Like, I think that their current roster is better than the roster they were running out there in July, like when you were playing Bryce Matthews every day, when Melton was playing every day, when Cam Smith was hitting leadoff. This current roster is better. Like, the talent is better. They're just playing very, very poorly. Bad baseball. And we'll talk about last night's game, too. Last night they had a shot. Last night they could have won. They were a call away from winning that game. But it goes to show you how hard winning is right now for the Astros, like pulling teeth for the Astros to get a victory. But Fromber Valdez, who's been one of your better pitchers in the golden era, maybe the best pitcher in the golden era of Houston Astro baseball, was awful today. He had an awful first inning. He gave up 6 runs in the first inning. Like, that, when does that happen with Fromber Valdez? And people are ready to riot about Fromber Valdez. People are ready to throw him out of the city. And people are kind of forgetting what Fromber Valdez has done for the Houston Astros. But you can't overcome a 6-bullet deficit after an inning.
Hey, but the crazy thing is that crazier things have happened. They even had a chance with second and third and nobody out to maybe tack on a few and keep it, get even closer and keep chipping away. They couldn't do that. Fromber, not only did he let 6 runs score, they were the first 6 guys in the lineup. Like, everybody reached base, everybody scored, everybody to Oprah, everybody gets to score. I mean, it was tough to watch. And I think that, you know, at a certain point, you see everybody melting down about Fromber. But I think that at a certain point, Fromber gets frustrated. He did not. He got squeezed on the first 2 hitters. He didn't get some calls that he clearly wanted. But I think that between him and his battery mate, there was a whole lot of mental checkout from time to time in that first inning, too, that was really frustrating and bothersome. But, yeah, there's people wanting Fromber's head on a platter and saying, get him out of town.
I don't know if Yiner's is the mental checkout rather than he just is a terrible receiver. Like, I don't know. It's tough to understand. Like, he doesn't try to block pitches anymore. No, everything he does is
right.
Picking. It's weird. Like, it's not normal catching.
But it looks like he doesn't give a whole lot. Like, it looks like he doesn't want to put that, you know, like you said, to block pitches, to kind of hop back there a little bit.
I think they told him to stop doing it.
Why?
Because he's bad at it. He's better with his hands. He's better at picking. That's why I think he'd be a good first baseman. Like, he's got pretty good hands. He's not a good blocker. I think that they told him to stop blocking. I really do. It's bizarre. It feels backwards.
Can't you do both? Can't you try and do that while still kind of getting out, sliding out of your crouch a little bit, so in case you get unlucky and don't pick it, that it doesn't get by you?
I mean, he's not trying to get in the way of baseballs, though. No, he's not trying to block
them. That's what I'm saying.
He's a hockey goalie. Like, he's... It could be. Like, it's weird. Like, he is the weirdest receiving catcher in all of baseball. I don't think he can catch Fromber anymore. I really don't. Because Fromber is very reliant of his breaking ball. And when Yiner Diaz isn't going to block pitches, who knows why, then you need somebody back there that can. Like, I don't think that Yiner can catch Fromber Valdez anymore. I'm dead serious. Like, there's knuckleballers in the past where you, mm-hmm. I think it was Veritek. Like, Veritek wouldn't catch Wakefield because he couldn't catch the knuckleball. So they use, like, Doug Mirabelli. I think it's to that point with Fromber. Yiner cannot handle Fromber Valdez's movement, and I think it ticks off Fromber. There was an instance in the first inning whenever there was one pass ball, wild pitch, however it was ruled, I don't know. Fromber just, like, goes right back to the mound and, like, ignores Yiner Diaz. Like, I think he's mad at his catcher.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out where the emotion was directed because I knew he was already ticked off at the home plate umpire, but I did notice the exact same thing. The minute it got by and they were ready to throw him a new baseball, he turned, walked away, wait till he got behind the rubber, and then got a new baseball. It was like, oh boy, it's unraveling quickly. I mean, even Blummer was saying, like, it feels like the wheels are falling off. Like, it feels like we're watching this thing crumble right in front of our eyes, because every time you look at, oh, Fromber's on the mound tomorrow, we're good. No, you're not. No, you're not at all. Yiner's behind the dish. He's doing what he's doing. Finally, that we had to celebrate the fact that they finally got a run and then two to cross the plate. But this is embarrassing for any team, but it's extremely embarrassing for a first-place team.
Yeah. Yiner had two hits today. Like, he was the only semblance of offense, really, other than Dubon. And Yiner, I had that take last week. He doesn't hit good pitching. Yeah, I thought he had some pretty good plate appearances against Schoolboy yesterday. You know, the single to right field could have scored the run in regulation. Call that went against the Astros. We'll talk about that later. But I'm to the point where Victor Caratini has to catch Fromber Valdez games from here on out, because he gives you a better chance of blocking Fromber's curveball in the dirt. And I wonder if that's why Fromber's curveball hasn't been as effective. It's because he's terrified of throwing it into the dirt, because he knows Yiner Diaz isn't a great blocker, isn't a great receiver.
But here's the question then, Jeremy, because I think you have a valid concern. But then, because of the lineup crunch, and we're trying to figure out where you're going to play everybody and what you're going to do, and you just mentioned Yiner had two hits today, then does that mean Yiner has to sit?
Yes.
Because of the fact that Caratini has to catch Fromber, because now you're at a bit of a deficit because Caratini's fallen off, because as hot as he was leading into the trade deadline and getting all the players they've gotten, he's gotten very little at bat since then, and he's fallen off because of it, I think. But if he plays, then Yiner sits, and then you take a bat that's getting hot, possibly, out of the lineup.
I mean, you can't catch every pitcher. Like, you can't catch every game of the week. Like, you're going to have – the nature of the position. You're going to have to sit two games a week, give or take. So, those are my days of the week where Fromber gets his catcher. Fromber gets Caratini, because it's not working. And I'm not trying to blame today's start on Yiner. Fromber wasn't good. He was okay after the first inning. Still was very difficult. Like, there was runners on base, but had to work out of things, had to get good health from his defense. Fromber had nowhere near Fromber stuff innings 2 through 5. Tip my cap that he got through 5 after giving up 6 runs through the first. But overall, the outing was very, very bad. And it's not Yiner's fault. It's Fromber's fault. But going forward, if I'm managing this team, Yiner's not catching Fromber anymore. I don't think it's a pairing that is working. And I saw Fromber, who can be a little bit hot and cold at times, I saw him visibly upset with Yiner because he can't catch him. And it's been a problem for the last several starts, quite frankly. Yeah. And look, this is a small thing. The Fromber not pitching well is the bigger conversation here, obviously. This is more just like a peripheral point, but I do think it exists. I would be shocked if Yiner Diaz is catching Fromber Valdez next turn through the rotation.
Yeah, that's something to watch. I mean, in watching it unfold, you could just see that Fromber almost felt like he wanted to say more to the home plate umpire, but he didn't. But at the same time, the minute he wasn't getting the calls that he thought he should have gotten, he took himself out of his rhythm. Then he's either rushing or he's slow rolling it, and he's basically talking to himself, and he's kind of checking out as each pitch is not where he wants it and or is not getting called the way he likes. And then before you know it, the dam breaks, all hell breaks loose, and you're like, well, this one's pretty much over.
Astros swept. They've lost 4 in a row. The only good news here, Seattle's lost 5 in a row. They lost to the Phillies. They got out of hand late. Phillies were able to sweep that series as well. So even though the Astros in a 4-game losing streak, even though they had 31 consecutive scoreless innings, even though they're getting rocked every night except for last night, went to extras, they somehow still have a game and a half lead in the American League West, a race that nobody wants to win.
It is absolutely amazing. And when you think about this, too, in terms of how fast this team has fallen, because, look, other teams have done this. I mean, Detroit went through a stretch where I think they lost 13 out of 15. They were horrible, too. But at the same time, they've regrouped. They're right there for the best record in the American League. When you look at it now, if the Yankees win today, the Yankees will have passed the Astros record-wise. When we played the Yankees a few weeks ago, you basically had a chance to bury them because you were really good, they were really bad, and you were like, hey, this would be fun to basically put them out of their misery. Now here they come. They hit 9 home runs last night in a game, and they're right there on your heels fighting with you record-wise in the American League. That's something I never thought I'd see this year.
Yeah, it's a weird spot that the Houston Astros find themselves in. And then you mentioned like the offense today. I mean, Dubon hit the 2-run homer, but it was too little, too late. They had chances to make this a game. Like they had second and third, Walker up one out, strikes out. Jesus Sanchez looks unbelievably overmatched at the plate right now. He's like, you know what, 0-for-28. He's hitless in his last 28 at bat, something like that. Jose Altuve had a spot. Jose Altuve had Pena third, less than two outs, and he swings at a pitch that's a foot above the zone and pops it up to the shortstop. Like, this team is pressing. He just hit a ground ball there. Like, if Altuve hits a ground ball there, okay, you're a run closer. If Christian Walker hits a ground ball in that spot, okay, all of a sudden it's a two-run game. You're a bloop and a blast from tying it up. It's a team right now that is pressing in a mighty way.
Yeah, they're feeling it. And you just don't know. You know, I put it on the rundown just because of the fact that everybody was joking about how do you get out of this. Is this one of those...
Third segment.
Huh?
Third segment.
I know. But I'm saying, before we even get to it, I'm saying I put it down because of the fact that everybody is throwing all these things at the wall. But at the same time, it's not for us to figure out as much as they have to figure it out, too. Because now you're going to take on a team that, if you really want to get into it, you're playing a Baltimore team that handled your ass and took you to the cleaners that you'd want to get back at. But this isn't the Orioles that everybody looks at their record and goes, eh, they're not that good. They're a good young baseball team, and they're picking up momentum with every win that they get. Now you go into their house, and you've got to try and win a series. And let's start just by winning a game, because your two best pitchers just pitched in this series, and you lost. And now you're hoping to God that the back end of your rotation can salvage something on this trip.
Yeah, neither Fromber and Hunter, to your point, will pitch against Baltimore in the four-game series. It's, what is it, tomorrow it's Alexander. Mm-hmm. Friday, it's McCullers. Saturday, it's Javier. So I guess that's good news that he just, you know, he had the runs. All these other pitchers giving up runs, he had the runs. And then it's going to be Spencer Arrighetti, who's been giving up a lot of meatballs, going on Sunday. So four pitchers. I mean, the one that you feel the most confident about is Costanza. But it's not good. It's not good. Now, fortunately, Seattle has allowed you to lose games because they're on a longer losing streak than you are, miraculously. I think we can go ahead and put the bye thing out of the conversation, though, because the Astros chasing the Tigers, Blue Jays, like that's the race they should be looking at. Astros, as of right now, are now 4.5 games back of Toronto for the second seed in the American League. And there's, what, 35 games left, yeah. Something like that? Mm-hmm. So that didn't look great. That doesn't look great whenever you look at that race. Right now, the Astros are just trying to get in. They do have a little bit of a cushion on the wild card. Cleveland's the first team out. Actually, it's Kansas City, the first team out. And the Astros lead on Kansas City, as of now, after the Astros lost today, is 3.5. So it's shrinking.
It is. I mean, shrinking. That's the thing. You're actually, with every game that you lose, you're letting other teams believe that they have a shot to get in. And that's what's scary, because now down the stretch, and you said this, and we were talking about it a week or so ago, about instead of watching the division, you need to be watching the American League. I thought I'd be looking up, and I thought I'd be thinking about chasing down the two teams that you were within a game and a half of when it was the Tigers and the Blue Jays. Now you're looking down and going, Kansas City's thinking they got a shot now. You know, you've got teams, Boston's back in it. The Yankees are a chance to have a better record than you. And now you've got to be really concerned about the fact that not only could you not win the division, but you have to really play better baseball or you might not make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. It's in play. Absolutely, it's in play. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, the Hive has some thoughts on this. Astros, frustration, panic meter, where is that at? 713-780-ESPN. Lots to get to. How do you handle Yordan? That's, I guess, a silver lining as well. Like, all is well, we think, out in Corpus with Yordan's performance yesterday. Looks solid. How do you break this hump? We'll get it to Danielle Hunter a little bit later. later, and the top football players in college football. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. We're on the YouTube at ESPN Houston, TikTok at ESPN975. You can find me there, Jeremy J. Branham. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. You can find Blankers there at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Texture sent this one twice, so he really wants us to read it. And look, the peer pressure does work on me. I'm impressionable. You can talk me into things. He says, can someone's abuela go rub the Astros with an egg to take away the ojo? My grandma used to do that. My abuela used to do that. I call her nana. She would. You ever do does Lisa's family do this?
Not that I'm aware.
Where they're sick and they'll get the egg and they'll like rub it on you and then they break the egg and then something the way that the egg yolk looks like, it like tells you if you're sick or not.
I've been told about it. Yeah, yeah. But I don't think that they did it.
And the ojo means like somebody's like looking at you and they don't make physical contact with you and that's how they made you sick. That's the, I guess, rationale. That's okay. The theory there. Yeah. The Astros have a hole right now. We need to touch them. We need to grab them. Let them know. Texter, I said it last year. Joe Espada is not the guy. I understand the injuries, but he's not the guy. I know you are going to poo-poo it, but he just doesn't get to the players. He's not the guy.
That's ridiculous, man. We just got done about 2 weeks ago or less talking about the fact that Espada, if not the leader, should be one of the leaders for manager of the year in the American League. And in all of baseball, when you look at what he's been able to do. I just think that because of the fact that Astros fans lose their bleeping minds and think the sky is falling no matter what happens when it's not going their direction, they want everybody fired. They want someone's head on a platter or more, and they want to blame everyone for the reason. Espada doesn't go up to the plate and hit the ball or not hit the ball in this case. Espada's not taking the rubber and towing the rubber and throwing strikes or not throwing strikes. Like, he's doing the best he can with a team that literally led the league in injuries and players on the injured list all season.
Yeah, I mean, I've had my – I think his spot is kind of mid. I'll be honest. Like, I think that he's all right. I don't think he's bad. I don't think he's fantastic. I think he's done some things where you can, like, okay, that's good for the resume. Last year when they were 12-24 and they responded and, you know, made the playoffs at the same time, who would I have rather had in that series last year managing my team, A.J. Hinch or Joe Espada? A.J. Hinch by a mile. I mean, Hinch runs circles around Espada. I think Dusty runs circles around Espada. I think Espada's fine. I think he's all right. I'm not looking at him to, like, fire Joe Espada. But do I think that Dusty or A.J. would be better in this situation than Joe? I do. Yeah.
But do you think that either one of those guys gets them out of this tailspin quicker?
I do, yeah. I think they would be better. I think it would be a little – I think that especially Dusty. Dusty would have a way to lighten the mood, absolutely. Whereas, like, I don't know if Espada can do that. I don't know if Espada can go into the clubhouse and, you know, he buys Chaz banana pudding and then Chaz gets a couple of knocks because he's feeling confident. I just don't know. Like, I haven't heard those things from Espada where I think Dusty was fantastic in a clubhouse.
See, I think you can be a player's manager like that and you can do a lot of things for this team, but if this team – doesn't turn it, you know, I mean, hit the baseball and do the things that I was saying,
sure,
they're still going to lose these games. Maybe they don't get shut out, but when you're losing 14-1, when you're losing 10-0.
Well, they lost 1-0 yesterday.
Yeah, and I think they should have won yesterday.
But they didn't.
I understand.
Would
that.
They have with Dusty and AJ? I don't know. I don't think so. Probably a stretch. I'll agree.
Yeah, that's a hell of a pitcher's duel that ends up not going your way on a call where you could have won it in 9 innings. And yet, that's what happens in baseball when things aren't going your way. And I just don't know if anybody not named Joe Espada would have had a better result so far in these last 5-6 games.
It's not so much about the win-loss record in the last few. I think that Dusty and AJ would be better in the clubhouse while it's very, very tight and tense. Like right now, the Astros are puckered up, baby. They are tight. They are tense. They are pressing. Do I think that A.J. Hinch and Dusty Baker would be better at alleviating that pressure? I do. I really do.
Okay. I don't at this point because I think I put this clearly on the players. Now, if this is a longer stretch, now that might be – I totally agree with you. In playoff baseball, then I definitely want either one of those other two guys.
Yeah, because, so, I mean, we agree that they're better managers.
Yes, absolutely.
Like,
yes.
Where would you blind rank Joe Espada 1 through 30 in Major League Baseball?
Probably mid.
Yeah.
Probably right in
that's,
the middle.
I mean, he's fine. Like, I don't mind Joe. I think he's interesting, and I think he's okay. I don't think he's a top 10 manager in baseball. And yes, he's like going to finish wherever he finishes in manager of the year. Last year, I think he finished top five because of their recovery. That's not always a manager award, though. Like, that's, I mean, if Alex Cintron was in the dugout, do I think that they make that recovery as well? Probably. I don't know what Joe Espada is doing that's, you know, making this team fantastic. I would say that he's pretty good at, like, keeping his composure. He's very even keeled, which I think is important for a big league manager. I mean, I think he's fine. I think he's okay.
I think the question that we don't know the answer to is the level of respect throughout the clubhouse because of the fact that sometimes you do have to put your foot down. Sometimes you do have to basically play tough love with some guys. And I don't see Joe Espada as that kind of guy. But I also wonder if it's a dying breed in terms of the managers that we're talking about and that the Houston fans have had the opportunity to have managed their club. And when you hear what goes on with the Yankees, and it's probably like a lot of teams in the league now where Clint, what's the ex-Yankee guy that now has the podcast?
You're talking about Clint Frazier?
Clint Frazier. Clint Frazier was basically in his first podcast highlighting how the Yankees go about from lineups to decisions within the game to everything else, where it's not Aaron Boone. It's basically Aaron Boone in the analytics department and that everybody has to say so. Dusty wouldn't deal with that. But now, because you moved on from Dusty, and there was that friction, you know, when Dust with so many things, the way Dusty did business compared to others, I think they wanted a guy like Espada, so that he would be a guy that would be more like their analytics department and be able to have group chats instead of just being the guy that puts a lineup together.
Oh, I think so too. I think that Dusty had control of the lineup every single day, mm-hmm. and no one budged on that. Like
look
it was
Yiner.
Dusty's lineup.
Yeah, look at Yiner when he decided I'm going to sit him for a while.
That's not the case anymore.
No,
like I remember Dana Brown doing radio hits and stuff whenever Dusty was the manager, and like they would ask him about the lineup. He'd be like, oh, it's Dusty's lineup, and like would say That's nothing right. about where people were going to be. And then when this was last year, I remember verbatim, they were asking Dana, like, you know, what's the lineup going to look like, or is this a possibility? And Dana's like, well, you know, the lineup's a Espada's, but I expect to see this guy batting second tonight. It was like, oh, that's something that wouldn't have happened with Dusty. Look, I don't think that's necessarily, like, good or bad. I really don't. Like, I think that it could be good. I think it could be bad. I don't look at Espada because, like, that is the case with the analytics and the lineup coming from upstairs as, like, a knock on Espada. I think it could go either way. Mine's more, and maybe it's because he's not as experienced as those other guys. I don't know if he has a wonderful feel for the moment. And, look, I'm not blaming him for the losing streak. I just wonder if it would be a little bit lighter around there with somebody else.
It also, because of that, I think that it lends itself to what I was saying in terms of, do the players have enough respect for him to, like, obey him when he and understand that, like, he's the guy that's going to make decisions when they know if this is the way it's going on behind the closed doors, that it's not him making the decisions in the first place, as opposed to a Dusty Baker who's got skins on the wall, as opposed to an AJ Hinch, guys like that, guys that have managed in this game a long time that have a resume long enough and good enough to say, I understand what the analytics department says here, but to your point, I've got a feel for where we are in this particular ball game with a matchup or a hitter or a pinch hitting situation. I don't care what you guys think. This is my game to manage.
Yeah, I do think Espada has that control, though. Like, I think Espada, he's making the decisions. I mean, I know they talk about it beforehand. Like, last night he went three straight lefty pinch hitters, which I'm okay with. Like, play the matchups, play the percentages. I'm okay there. But I think that's Espada's call. Like, is that something they talk about before the game, before a series? 100%. Absolutely. This is something that in this spot we're going to do. And I think it is a collective conversation. But in the moment, I do think Espada has, I know he has full control. Now, is he managing with vibes as much as Dusty was? Absolutely not. Now, would Dusty have prevented this losing streak? I don't think so. I just wonder if they're a little bit looser with a more seasoned veteran manager than they are Joe. Because right now they're pressing. They're tense, baby.
Oh, no,
like,
no.
You can see if Christian Walker's at bat, second and third, one out, you could see it. You could especially see it in Jose Altuve's at bat. You could see it with Jose Altuve's at bats all series, quite frankly. He's sitting there cursing himself as he walks back to the dugout. He's swinging at a pitch above the zone by a foot, popping it up on the infield with a runner at third, less than two out situation. This club right now is feeling it.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I was curious in his first at bat, like if he almost didn't know the count because he turned back to the umpire multiple times.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And was and like asking questions. And then he was shaking his head the whole way back to the dugout. And I'm like, did you even know what the count was? Yeah,
I think he was asking the umpire if those pitches were in the zone that he was swinging at. That would be my
guess,
but I don't know.
And that's what they normally do. But yeah, it just looked like he spent a lot more time doing it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it was just puzzling because everything else now is under a microscope and you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to agree with you in the fact that, yes, from in terms of the clubhouse with the mood, because you've got a lot of young guys that haven't been through this before. Like Cam Smith is a guy that hasn't been through this before. You know, you've got guys that you're relying on now that probably haven't been in a situation like this. When you talk about Tremel, but Tremel was bouncing around teams. But you look at some of these younger guys like Jacob Melton and other guys that have to that are feeling it probably more because they're being relied on and they're in the starting lineup or they're playing at a time when this team is really hurting.
Yeah.
And maybe a different manager would give them a different vibe.
And look, we're not saying to fire Spotter.
No, not at all.
Like, we're not calling for his head at all. It's just an inexperienced manager in his second year that it's in a very, very tough spot right now. And a lot of it's not his fault. The offense is struggling. He's not getting a whole lot from his pitching staff. Sans Hunter Brown last night. The bullpen is hurt. There are tons of injuries. Like, no one's calling for his head. We're just wondering if it looks a little bit different with others. Texter says, can he keep Altuve from swinging at pitches that a 7-foot-tall person couldn't hit? Valid point. No, he couldn't keep Altuve from that. But Dusty Baker would have the courage to sit Jose Altuve whenever he would be like, okay, Jose Altuve's in one of those stretches where he's swinging at everything, he's not having quality plate appearances, he's not helping us win, he needs a day. Dusty Baker would give Jose Altuve a day, and Dusty Baker wouldn't feel any sort of way about it because he's Dusty Baker. I don't think that Joe Espada has that sort of power, that those cojones that Dusty, like, because you know the last person that wants to give a Jose Altuve an off day? Jose Altuve. So is Joe Espada going to Jose, be like, hey, we could use an off day from you today? And Jose's like, nah, not happening. Whereas Dusty Baker, he's just not in the lineup, and he can pull it off because he's Dusty Baker.
That's right.
So, no, he can't keep Altuve from swinging at pitches that a 7-foot-tall person couldn't hit. But you can notice that Jose Altuve's in a struggle right now, in a huge slump right now, and sit him for a day to see if that resets him a bit. Now, the counterpoint to that is everybody could use a day,
right?
Because they could all use a reset because there ain't nobody hitting with the exception of Carlos Correa.
Well, and that goes back to when Dusty was giving guys days off. I was constantly going, why? Why now? He just did a home run last night, and he's on fire, but Dusty doesn't care. Dusty's going to Dusty.
And I thought, and that's where I feel like Dusty was really, really good and underrated, was that he would have a great pulse of the clubhouse. Altuve's swinging from his, he's swinging out of his shoes. He's had terrible command of the zone right now. He's making terrible swing decisions. We need Jose Altuve to sit a day just to relax, reset, okay, and then he's good to go. I felt that Dusty was really good in that regard. 713-780-ESPN. So is it time? How do you get out of this slump? Is it time for everybody loves this, the team meeting? Is it time for that? How about the leaders of this team? Is it time for this stuff to come to a head? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Ryan on Twitch says, need the Houston Chronicle to do the Astros season tombstone on the front page pronto. That was Fred Fowler back in the day.
Sure was.
It's hard to do with a game and a half lead in the division, though. It's hard to do while you're currently in the playoffs, I feel like. It doesn't hit the same to me.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, again, it's to me, the fact that it is absolutely remarkable if this is watching this last stretch of baseball, that this team is still in the position that it's in.
No, for sure. For sure. Seattle's helping you a lot there. Yep. Altuve's pressing even more than his usual undisciplined self. Altuve's making Dubon look like Tony Gwynn.
That's pretty good.
Ryan, they need to have a funeral for their bats in center field. Ocho Yiner is simply a bad baseball player. Even when he takes a pitch, it's predetermined. He has no sense of pitch recognition or anything at the plate. I think it's fair about Yiner. Because there are times when he'll, like, hey, I'm going to take a pitch here. And it's like, bro, that's a backed up changeup. You should hit 450 feet. Like, he takes some bad pitches. Like, and when I say bad pitches, I mean pitches you don't want to take as a hitter. Pitches that you can do damage with. I think it's a good observation by Ocho.
Yep.
Who most of the time knows ball.
He does.
Most of the time he knows ball.
But, I mean, how many times did we see, even last night in a tight game, especially if facing a pitcher like that, where you put yourself in an 0-2 hole because you just let him throw two right down Main Street?
That's the problem with, like, hey, we have a team that swings a lot, and then, hey, let's start taking some pitches. And then it's like, oh, well, that's why we're swinging, because if we take pitches, we're going to be 0-2 to the best pitcher in the American League. Texture is always the cycle will end with Jason Alexander. It seems like every single Alexander start is in a – he's in a trying to break the slump. He's trying to be the slump buster, Costanza is. So the Astros apparently had a meeting yesterday after the game. Carlos Correa led it, I guess. How do you break out of this slump? Is it a team meeting? Is it a Correa moment as a leader? What's your stance on how you try to come out of this?
Well, going into and when we first started talking about this, we just found out, and I just found out going into last break, according to Brian McTaggart, that they did have somewhat of a meeting last night. I don't know to what level. I know that Brian said that Carlos was one of the guys that spoke. But this is where you're as good as you hear this clubhouse is. As much as what we just said about Joe Espada, Joe Espada is not that kind of guy. He just doesn't seem to be that guy. I think this is where you do need someone that is willing to speak up. I don't think, you know, Lamont just said Yordan. Is he that guy? No, he's not. And I don't see that he's that kind of guy. I mean, Altuve has the skins on the wall to be that guy. It doesn't seem to be his personality. We joke about Carlos Correa. We've seen the mound visits. We know what he did, you know, what he's capable of doing. And we know that he's always been kind of like the mouthpiece for this team in the golden era when he was here. This is a case where he definitely fits the bill as a guy that brings the guys together. And it doesn't have to be in the clubhouse. It could be some of the things we hear on the road where you take the guys, not to the Mark Grace extent, if you don't want to get to that level, but take him out for dinner. Take them somewhere, you know, where I know in my experiences, guys would do things like get the whole, like a team bonding environment and go play paintball or go do something off the wall that's completely away from baseball to kind of what you were saying, lighten the mood, get guys to take it, you know, take it down a notch and relax a little bit, let their guard down, and then talk about what they have to do and be realistic in the fact that, hey, no matter what you've just endured, you're still in first place by a game and a half.
I think they need to get hammered on the flight to Baltimore, quite frankly. They need to get drunk and lose all of their ambitions, every single one of it. I think the team meetings are very overrated. I think they carry some value. I'm not like anti-team meeting. I just think we grossly overrate team meetings. You know who has a bunch of team meetings? Teams that lose 100 games. Like, I just don't believe that it is that super impactful. And they had one yesterday and did nothing offensively again today. I don't think their problem is they need somebody to yell at them in the clubhouse. I think their problem right now is they're all tight. I like more of your get away for a little bit. That's why I said get drunk on the flight to Baltimore. That's a way to lose a little bit of this tenseness. They also don't have days off, so, like, it's tough to do that. Like, their next day off is on Monday. So, like, that can't come soon enough because that's a day you can get away from baseball, go get a round of golf in, whatever it is that they do. But, no, I think it's something more of let's take the load off. Let's try to figure out a way to pop the balloon of pressure versus let's have a team meeting and a player-only meeting. I think that stuff a lot of times is very overrated.
I do think, though, when you've got a lot of young players on the team, leadership comes in a lot of different ways where the veterans do kind of have to step up a little bit in a lot of ways, because I think a lot of these guys need a pick me up. You see the faces when the Cam Smiths of the world get robbed on a ball that they thought was going to be a base hit. And, you know, and like we talked about, there are guys pressing all over the diamond right now to where this is where the veterans do need to kind of put an arm around a shoulder and kind of get behind some guys, because it is, you know, as much as we talk about the individuals, it is a team sport, and they've got to start picking it up all over the place.
Yeah. But don't you think that stuff's going on? Like, don't you think Correa's talking to Cam in the clubhouse already during this awful stretch that he's been in? Like, I don't believe that just, like, all of a sudden, August 19th, yesterday, was the first time that he talked to Cam. I think this stuff happens all the time.
I don't disagree with that, but, Jeremy, I think that every clubhouse is different, and I think that in certain situations, you get to the point where if you've got veterans that are scuffling, we just got done talking about an Altuve type, depending on the ball club you're on, a veteran, if he's scuffling or he feels the pressure too, he's so worried about himself and getting himself right that he's probably not as concerned about doing that with other guys, where we can hear about and we know that this has been a really good positive clubhouse across baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you would think, yeah, it should be happening in the Astros clubhouse. And if there's a clubhouse that it would be happening, it probably is the Astros.
Yeah, that's my thought. Like, I don't think that – I think people have been – you know, talking to the youngsters. I think Correa, like Lamont, you mentioned, like, does Correa have the skins on the wall to command the alpha position whenever this team won a championship without him? It's almost like Correa never left. And like, there's a lot of players that are still on this team whenever Correa was here. So it's like, oh yeah, he already is that leader. Again, I think we overrate that leadership and captainship a lot of times. Like, the Astros did win a World Series the very first year that Carlos Correa was gone. I don't think that the Astros' problem right now is that they lack leadership or somebody willing to say something, whether it's a pick me up, whether it's to get, you know, in your chili a little bit. I think that the issue with the Astros is that they can't win baseball games because they're very tense offensively and their bullpen stinks. I think that's a far bigger concern.
Yeah, but from the standpoint of Correa being that guy, if there's any guy on this roster right now that's the guy that's going to speak up, it's him. And I mean, you know, because of what you mentioned and the fact that it feels like he never left, but you also know what a guy like Christian Walker, who's a veteran that's been in this league a long time, is one of the guys that said from the minute he walked in, you know, it was, you understand who he is, but you respect him, and they go about their business. So, again, you have a Barry Bonds type. You have guys that are all about them. This is a different conversation, but this is the Astros.
Yeah, ultimate slump buster would be a night out in Baytown. We can go out there.
Mark Grace has a different theory than yours about just getting drunk.
We can go out to a little bit of – we can go bring them to Cactus Jack whenever they're in the – they're back in Houston. We'll do that. We'll take one for the team. 713-780-ESPN. How do they get out of this slump? 713-780-3776. What is the right recipe for a reeling Astros team who is puckered up, as puckered up as you've ever seen? 713-780-3776.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
This used to be a theme song for a show. Was it Ballers?
I think it might have been, yeah. Look it up. Yeah, I think
used to watch. Ballers was very mediocre. I watched them all because I got pot committed. Very mediocre show. The Rock.
I started to record it and watch it, and yeah, I was not impressed.
Yeah. Denzel Washington's son's the star receiver on that show. Did you know that's Denzel's son?
I did not.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's Denzel's son. They actually got a good cast. It's just kind of mid.
It's kind of like Entourage on steroids.
I think it's a good comp.
Yeah,
that would be my comp for it. Pena's more decorated, but people like Christian Walker have to take responsibility. He is a decoration on an excellent team, but he's also a paperweight. Text went a lot of different ways. Remind them they're still in first place with 11 games over 500. Relax. We had the losing streak out the way. Let's go. I actually think that's fine. I think that's why this message right now, instead of being like read on the riot act, I think it needs to be a looser one. It needs to be, I'd say, let's relax. Let's go get some crab cakes in Baltimore.
It's not to the level of panic mode. It's just that the concern has gotten to a level that you weren't expecting with all that they've been able to do this year.
Yeah, I mean, they have overexceeded expectation with the injuries. Like, mm-hmm. Whenever you look at the injuries, they've overexceeded expectation. Texter, I like J.J. Watt's take on player-only meetings. I don't remember his take on player-only meetings. Give us some context there.
Yeah, I don't either. Texter. I would assume that he's not in favor of them, but I don't know.
Yeah. Let us know what he said. I'll look it up during the break if you don't let me know what he said prior to that. 713-780-ESPN. Texter, Blanker's paintball? Do you want all of them with shoulder soreness and actual entire body soreness? Okay. They're too soft for paintball.
All right, cool. Get it. But I'm just saying, like, your hometown basketball team, literally with guys that you don't want getting shot in the arms and things like that, because then they got to shoot the ball with that arm the next day. We're doing full-blown paintball for hours.
Maybe a round of golf.
Yeah.
Maybe a round of golf is the way to go. You know those what are those rooms that women go to whenever they're mad at their significant,
yeah.
Like break it, rooms or something?
Something like that, but it's like the not the panic room, but room.
I think it's a break. I think they call it a break room. There's like furniture. There's like electronics in there and windows.
They put a car in it.
Yeah, they could just bang the windows and like throw the TVs. And apparently, that's very. I guess that alleviates stress. Maybe there's a break room in Baltimore. Get some crab cakes, go to the break room, we're all good. Everybody's fine. Just don't let Yordan do it and get the reverb in the hand. That could be an issue. That might be a problem. Do it before Yordan joins the team. The team has had terrible offensive game planning for several years. Opposing starting pitchers constantly having low pitch counts is infuriating. Cintron and Snickers should not have jobs here after the season. That's always a popular take after the Astros struggle offensively.
Yep, yep. That's definitely, and again, we saw this when the pitching was struggling, that suddenly that the pitching coaches need to be fired. Now we're on to the hitting coaches need to be fired. Now we're on to Joe Espada needs to be fired. Everybody's looking for a head to roll, but it's not, to me, it's not on them, and nothing's going to happen in the season anyway. It's all about just turning it around and getting guys that are fully capable of doing it to do it again.
6167, that's not what it's called. Another texter says it's a rage room. I think that is what it's called, rage room. Should have asked Bregman to address the team whenever they were in Boston. Not a bad idea. Hopefully he just didn't bring his salsa, though. Instead of mound visits, can Correa start visiting the batter's box? Give him a little pep-up talk before they go to bat. Correa's the only guy doing anything offensively.
He's been hitting a little bit. Yeah.
He's been hitting a little bit. A UPS driver, so couldn't watch the game. What happened to Trammell? What can Brown do for you? Mm. He went out, tried to make a catch. I didn't think it looked that bad.
I didn't either, but maybe because it was it's coming off the heels of literally landing on his tailbone last night to make a very awkward catch that, you know, he was still a little bit sore and then ran into the wall. But it looked like he was going to throw up.
It was weird because he was like, stay away, I'm good. He was waving off the training staff. And they're like, no, we're still going to come out there. And whenever they came out there, like, because he waved them off, they still went out there. It's like, okay, they're giving Fromber a minute here. Like, let him regroup. And then all of a sudden, he's being carted off the field.
And literally, he doubled over and looked like he was going to throw up. And he started spitting a lot, which normally leads to you when you're about to throw up. And then they were talking about the fact that he looked like something was wrong. And then they carted him off. And
yeah.
I don't know.
It didn't look like he banged his head, though.
At all.
Like, Cal's like, oh, look, he gets the side of his head on the wall. Like, I didn't see that.
I didn't either.
Maybe he got the wind knocked out of him or something.
I think that's
a more... It was a pretty nasty spill.
That's a more... Again, because he landed on his tailbone last night, but he really got jarred. You could tell his neck and everything else. His whole body took that one.
Yeah, that was
nasty. And then when you go and do what you did today, right, coming off of that, there still could be effects from last night.
That was a nasty spill yesterday from Trammell. Yep. Last night's looked much worse than today's.
For sure,
I thought. Jesus Sanchez botched that ball too. It must have been a tough sky.
Yeah, because you could tell he put both hands up right before the ball got there, almost like I lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And Blummer's point is a valid one, that when he came running in, if his head's moving at all or he looked anywhere other than straight at the ball, you can lose that thing in an instant. And trying to pick it up late, you're in the vicinity, but then it goes whizzing by your glove. But that was poorly, poorly played.
Like, back-to-back guys, like, overran the baseball. Now, Trammell made an incredible play to, like, dive back, like, lunge backwards, make the catch. But they both overran their balls.
They did. And Altuve and Walker looked like they never saw either one, the one on the right field line.
Abreu thought the one that Trammell caught was out of play. Did you notice that? Like, Abreu throws the pitch,
right.
It gets popped into the air in left field. Like, and I remember watching it, and I was like, there's no way that ball is going to get caught because of Abreu's reaction. And when I went back to watch it today, Abreu's asking for a new baseball. Like, Abreu's asking for a new ball. Trammell sprinting over to make that catch. This is Altuve's third stretch this year. He'll be fine. He's Altuve. Probably so, but I think he could probably use a day. It's talking about Espada, only his second year. He's still learning. He changes lineups too much, and does the left right and blah 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 blah. I don't know if he makes the lineup. I think the nerds make it. I'm on your side on that.
Yeah, I definitely think that.
Do you think he makes it? Or you think the nerds make
no,
it?
No, I think that is part of the reason why when Dusty moved on and Dusty wasn't the manager anymore, I think that's why they hired Joe Espada, because Joe Espada was open to what they wanted to do in terms of how much analytics was going to play into their day to day.
I do think it's the majority of baseball, though. Like, I don't
disagree with that.
And look, Espada, I'm not saying that Espada doesn't have any say, but I think they sit down every day collectively, the nerds, Dana, Espada, and they're like, okay, this is what we're doing today. I think it's a collective effort.
When you look at, again, manager matters, right? Mm-hmm. Because you got an old school manager, it's going to be different. They're just not going to be on board with that. But when you look at the Friedmans of the world and the general managers, the Theo Epsteins prior to him and Stearns and all these guys that believe in how important analytics is to baseball, I think it's more common than we realize because we're not privy to behind the scenes. I think it happens on quite a few teams.
I do too. Trash comment on your part too, Branham. A spot I can only pencil in who he has available. He doesn't execute the plays. Other managers may be more well equipped to hold team together, but this is not his fault. Yeah, I don't think everybody said it's his fault.
No one.
I said I don't know if that he is the best manager to take them out of a skid. But I don't think that he's, like, mismanaging these games at all. Although some people were a little upset that Caleb Ort was in the game last night in the 10th.
See, I honestly think, and I think Blummer finally touched on it, but I thought at the time I was watching his pitch count. And I granted, I didn't want a Josh Hader, but he hadn't pitched in a few days. I thought that they were going to bring him back in the 10th. And because Sanchez botched that ball in right and he had to throw several more pitches after that, that they didn't want him in the danger zone of 30, 35 pitches in case they needed him. So I thought he was in play, and then the minute that they had to go longer with that inning, he was out.
I was okay with him being pulled. Like I didn't want him in the game beyond the 9th inning. Like, you've had so many injuries, you shouldn't be pushing these guys to 40 something pitches. If he had like a 10 pitch inning, different story.
Right. Right.
No, I didn't want him in the 10th either. What'd you think of that Betas Chicas send yesterday, where Yonder got thrown out the plate?
It's dicey.
I was totally dicey. Okay with it.
It was dicey. I don't disagree with it. I think the bigger thing to me is that I don't know how you can't rule him safe. I know that people were saying, "What, the forearm touched him?" The forearm doesn't count. The fact that you could see that and from every different angle, and you're going to tell me that there was indisputable evidence that he was out, I just didn't see it. I mean, unless the only thing that you're lacking is an overhead view to see where that glove was, if there was like a buckle in the, or a bubble in the jersey. Mm-hmm. But overall, to me, the forearm doesn't count. And by the time the mitt and the baseball in the mitt touched him, his hand and the oven mitt was on the plate.
I had no problem with the send. I thought it was a good send. I don't think Betas Chicas is a great third base coach when it comes to stop signs and waves. But I thought that one was fine. Like, you're facing Skubal. There's two outs in the inning. Runs are at an absolute premium. You're at your bottom of the order. I had no problem with the send. It took a good play by Carpenter. It took a perfect, perfect throw by Torres.
How many outs were there?
There was two.
Yeah, so then you
third
have
out
to.
Of the inning. Yeah, I thought it was an automatic send. Some people were blaming Betas Chicas because they're upset at Betas Chicas because they've been upset at Betas Chicas all year, which is fair. Like, Betas Chicas has not had a good season as a third base coach, but I thought the send yesterday was perfectly fine.
Who'd have thought that they would want what's his name?
Pettis.
Back? Yeah, Gary Pettis back.
No, I thought, and like, your bottom of the order, Arias was up. Who would have been on deck? It would have been. I mean, it's your bottom of the order,
Trammell.
Might have been. I was trying to pull up yesterday's box score, but the internet's being slow. But yeah, you're the bottom of the order. There's two outs in the inning. Runs are at a premium. If you score the run there, it's over. Mm-hmm. And it's not over, but you would have won the game 1-0 in regulation. And on top of that, it took a perfect play. It took a perfect relay. I went back and I looked at the Baseball Savant on it. That throw from Gleyber Torres yesterday was the hardest thrown baseball by an infielder yesterday. Huh. It's like 88.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the rules of baseball say that's an easy send. That's a must send there because of the fact that, like you said, there's two outs. You have to have the perfect relay, and then the throw has to be exactly where it needs to be. Granted, I understand it's a catcher running, but you have to understand what are the chances rather than not you hold him, and then you're looking to try and get another base hit with two outs. I think that it's a better chance you send him and somehow the fielders don't do something the perfect way.
Dubon would have been up. Dubon would have been the guy up. I went back and I watched the big, like, the overhead center field or behind home plate camera that shows the whole field. It's kind of like the all 22. Yonder Diaz is looking at that ball as it's landing down the right field line. Like, he didn't look for long, but you can see him look over his left shoulder, and then you can see him look over his right shoulder and then take off. If he doesn't look at the ball,
that's,
scores.
That's absolutely
it's the difference
right.
of the play.
That happened on one of the caught stealings in the last two games,
Trammell.
Too. Yeah, it was Trammell. It was. He absolutely was just staring in instead of head down, busting it, where he gains an extra step to a half step where he could have been safe.
All right, you're Carlos Correa. 713-780-3776. You're Carlos Correa. You're delivering the message to this club. You're delivering the pep talk to somebody. What are you telling this team to get out of this skid before it's too late, before the season's gone? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.